This dialogue is transcribed from repeated visits with a patient in Aaronsville Correctional Center in West Virginia. Madeline, a 36-year-old woman, was sentenced to life imprisonment after brutally slaying her boyfriend during a sexual intercourse. According to police reports, Madeline sat with the remains of the man for 3 days after the murder until police arrived on the scene. They found her in the same room as the body, still covered with blood and malnourished. The doctor studied her behavior for a total period of 8 months, and the unanimous conclusion was that she was not of sound mind when she committed the act, which involved an ice pick, an oak board from the back of a chair, and eventually a chef's knife. Furthermore, she continued to show signs of both paranoia and delusions of grandeur long after the murder, swaying back and forth between the two, much like manic depression. For 3.5 years, Madeline had stayed at the Aaronsville Correctional Center, and she had shown no signs of behavioral improvements. She stays in a room by herself, usually playing solitaire on her bed, and talks to herself regularly and out loud, usually in a slight southern accent, although a not very loud tone, according to surveillance videotape. Her family abandoned her after the murder. Occasionally, she requests newspapers to read, but she is usually denied them. She never received visitors until these sessions with myself. The following excerpts are from dialogues I had with her, although I am tempted to say that they are monologues. She wasn't very interested in speaking with me. Rather, she was more interested in opening herself up to someone for the first time in years, someone who was willing to listen. At times, I began to feel like a surrogate parent. I try not to think of what will happen when our sessions end. Madeline is not a real name. I know they're watching me. They've got these stupid cameras everywhere. See, there's one behind the air vent there. Hi there! And then there's one where the window used to be. They probably got them behind all the mirrors, too. It wouldn't be so bad, I guess. I mean, there's not much for me to be doing in here anyway. But they watch me dress, too. And I mean, they're watching me when I'm naked. And that's what's that going to do to a person? Well, I don't know what they're watching me for anyway. It's not like I can do anything in here. I eat everything with a spoon. I've never been violent. All I do in here almost every day is just sit in this bed and play solitaire. Solitaire is really relaxing, you know, and I think it keeps your brain alive, too. Most people think that you can't win at solitaire. The chances of winning are like 2% or something, people think. But the thing is, you can win at this game at like more than half the time. I think that's the key, too, knowing that you can win half the time. I mean, the last 4 rounds I just played, I won twice. Now, I'm not saying I'm good or anything like praise me because I won 2 rounds of solitaire, but it makes a point that as long as you know what you're doing and you actually think about it, you can win. The odds are better. I think people just forget to watch the cards. Half the time, the reason you lose is because you forget something so obvious. You're looking for a card through the deck, and the whole time it's just sitting on another pile, just waiting to be moved. And by the time you forget, you move it, and then you finally get to it. Well, people just forget this stuff. They forget to pay attention. They've got to pay attention. You know, I'd like to see the news. I hate TV, but I'd like to see what other people are doing. Anything like mine? I mean, has anyone else lost it like me? You know, I'll bet my story wasn't on the news for more than 30 seconds. And I'll bet the newspapers have to tone their voice down, just like, oh, that poor crazy thing, like, that's what happens when you lose it, I guess. But I want to see what's happening in the real world. I want to just watch to see what, you know, what the weather is like, even though I ain't never seen the sun in like a year or two. or to hear sports scores. I mean, I don't like to have a TV in my room, but they don't even let me have one in there. I think they think that I'm going to, like, hotwire it or something, like I'm going to try to electrocute the whole building with a stupid television set. They let me have a lamp in the room. Like, I can't hurt someone with that, but no TV. They wouldn't even let me have a newspaper. What can a person do with a newspaper? Light it on fire or something? I don't know. If I had matches or something, maybe. But, I mean, it's not like... It's like this. I ain't never been violent to nobody in all the time that I've been in here. I haven't laid a hand on a guard or... Even though they've tried too many times to lay a hand on me, and I haven't caused a single little problem in all this whole damn place, and this is what I get. I don't even get a TV or a newspaper. You know, I don't really have a southern accent. See? Don't I sound different with a regular voice? I picked it up when I started sounding crazy. You see, I'm not really crazy. I just know the kind of shit they do to you in prison. I just think it's bad enough here. I don't think I'd get the shit kicked out of me. Well, I mean, I'd be sodomized before I knew it. I think this voice makes me sound like a little more strange. I'm actually from New York, but I mean, changing a voice a little just to save me from going to prison, well... I can do that. Here it's kind of nice. I don't have to deal with people all that often, and the crazy people around here think I'm some sort of tough bitch because I mutilated some person who was raping me. Oh, should I say, mutilated some person who was raping me. Oh, wait, they didn't tell you that part about the story? You didn't hear it, did you? Those damn lawyers over there thought that since I wasn't a virgin, I must have been wanting him. And he wasn't even my boyfriend. He was just some guy I knew. So we go out every couple weeks, and I never even slept with him before. It's such a fucked up place. You see, I gotta think of it this way. I really had no choice to do what I did. In a way, it was self-defense because I didn't want that little piece of shit to try to do that to me. I mean, what the hell makes him think he's got the right? I mean, what makes him think he can do that? Where does he get off trying to take me like that, like I'm some sort of butcher shop piece of meat that he can buy and abuse or whatever? Well, anyway, I know part of me knows it was in self-defense, but it was, you know, at the same time, I know I flipped because... Well, shit happened to me in the past. I never came from any rich family like you. I never even come from a family with a dad, so when I got all these boyfriends coming in and hitting on me from my mom or touching me or something, you know it's going to mess you up. Yeah, I know the people use that my parents beat me line, and it's gotten to the point where no one really believes it anymore, but if a person goes through that all their life suppressing something, then they shouldn't have to suppress it, and then one day it just like comes out and like punches you in the face. It's gonna make them go crazy. Well, even if it's just for a little while. Society's kind of weird. You know, it's like they teach you to do things that aren't normal, that don't feel right deep in your bones, but you have to anyway because someone somewhere decided that would be normal. Every round you're around, you like suppresses stuff, and when you see it, it tells you that you're supposed to be hiding it from the rest of the world too. Like, if we all just hide it for a while, then it'll all go away. Yeah, but maybe it does until someone like me blows up and can't handle hiding all that stuff anymore. But then the rest of the world just says that we're crazy, and therefore it's unexplainable why we went crazy, and they just kind of brush it off until everything is back to normal again. It's like emotion. People are taught to hide their emotions. Men are taught not to be crazy. Women are taught to be emotional, and men are told to think that it's crazy. So when something really shitty happens to someone, like a guy loses his job or something, and he just sits at in front of a friend, and he like breaks down and cries, the other guy just thinks the guy is crazy for crying. And then that guy rejects him because he's crying, and he's making him feel worse, making him bottle it back up inside of him. I think people are like Pepsi bottles. You remember those glass bottles? Pop always tasted better in those bottles. You could always just swig it down a little easier. The lips fit around the glass bottle neck better or something. I wonder why people stop using them. I think people are like Pepsi bottles. Like, they just have this potential for all this energy, and the whole world just keeps shaking them up. And some people lose the heads off their tops, those lid things, and all this icky carbonation stuff comes shooting out all over the place, and all the other Pepsi bottles want to hide from it, and then that poor guy has no Pepsi left. And how do you do anything when you got no Pepsi left? Or maybe you do lose it, but you still have some Pepsi left in you, and people keep thinking that you don't have any left, and then they treat you like you shouldn't be allowed to tie your own shoelaces, or you should be washed while you're getting dressed. And can't you shut those cameras off? I heard this story in here about Tony, this guy who was in here for murder, and he was here, and he went crazy and cut off his own scrotum. I mean, I don't know how a man could survive something like that, but I guess he did because he was in here. And from what I hear, he was using the payphones to call 1-800 numbers and prank whoever answered the other end. Well, I guess he kept calling this one office where the woman would answer the phone, and they got fed up with him, you know, I guess. So they traced it or something, and they got the phone number from the hospital, and they talked to his doctor. I think they told him that Tony cut off his balls. No, I thought the doctor-patient records were like private, but I suppose it doesn't matter because we're just crazy prisoners. I mean, killers who don't matter anyway. But he told those girls that Tony cut his balls off and like 2 months ago. And when that guy called him back, talking dirty to him, he didn't know that they knew he was a murderer with no balls, and they laughed and made fun of him and told him that they knew. And then he hung up the phone and never called them back. True story, I swear to God. Can you imagine that guy just wondering how they knew? Or were they just making a joke? Or did you know that I write? I figured if they won't let me read anything, maybe I could put this stuff down on a paper and maybe I'd read it to myself, I guess. I try to write poems, but it just doesn't come out right. And I've been trying to write something about what I've been going through here. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I just figured that if other people that are in prison get to, you know, have best sellers or make a ton of money, and then so can I. I mean, my story is better than half the shit that goes on around here, and I know that for a lot of women, they've got a little part of them that wants to do what I did. I mean, I think women feel it, but more of them are more taught to suppress it, to keep it all bottled up like that. And now that I think of it, what am I going to do with a bunch of money anyway? I'm never going to get out of here or enjoy it or anything. Anyway, how would I get someone to want to read it in the first place now that everyone thinks I'm crazy? Sometimes I get so depressed. It's like I'm never going to get out of here. I think I wanted to have kids one day. It's easier, I guess, not having to see kids. I guess then I don't have to miss them too much. But for the longest time, I had to get doctors to come in here and talk to me. And you know what they did? They got men doctors, one after another. And then they wondered why the hell I didn't want to talk to them. I mean, it's amazing. People just really don't think, do they? I guess it's hard being in here and all. I mean, I was going to go back to school. I'd already taken the GED and graduated high school, and I was going to go to the local community college. It was going to be different. Sometimes I wonder, you know, why this had to happen to me, why I had to snap. I really don't think I could have controlled it. I don't think any of it could have, you know, happened in any other way. It's hard. I have to find stuff to do, because otherwise all I'd want to do is sleep all day and night, and I suppose I could, but then what would happen to me? At least if I write a book about my life, about this whole stupid fucking world, then maybe everyone would at least understand. It really wasn't my fault. I mean, I think we women are taught to deal with, well, what we're taught to deal with in our regular lives, and then they keep piling all this, you know, sexism crap on us, and then they expect us to not be angry because we were taught to deal with it all of our lives. Maybe this guy was just a straw that broke the camel's back or something. Maybe he was just another rapist. Maybe he was just another drunk guy who thought that he could just do whatever he wanted to with me because he was the man and I was his girl, or some chick that didn't matter or whatever. But shit, it does matter. At least to me it does. I know it got a lot of heat. Oh, they're coming. I know I got a lot of healing to do, but I haven't really thought about doing it. I mean, what have I got to heal for anyway? To get out of here and go into prison? Then I'll just get abused by guards over there, having to watch my back every second of the day. At least here, people watch my back for me. They think everything and anything in the world could harm me, even myself. So they're so overprotective that nothing can go wrong, unless it goes wrong in my own mind.